Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, here we go. Program number 4 this afternoon, and it's been a good afternoon, and we just love to teach the Word. And again, I just want to thank our listening audience for everything. We just can't believe how you all support us and how we never have to ask for a dime, and yet we pay the bill every month and we just give the Lord the glory. Okay, again, we're just going to remind our listening audience a means of saving me a lot of letter writing. Instead of asking me to write your questions answered, you can just buy the book, and 88 typical questions, and the answers are taken from the program. And I don't think we've had a complaint from anybody that they didn't enjoy it. So if you are looking for something like that, call the girls and they'll get it out to you for $11. Postage paid, no handling, it's flat $11. Okay, now let's continue on with a little different take on our buts. This is going to be But Christ. And turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And while you're looking for that, I want to remind our Canadian listeners that since you're having trouble using the 800 number, call our regular number, 198-768-3218. And hopefully that'll help you speed up your orders. And even our 918 number is pretty cheap. I think it's like 4 cents a minute, so don't worry about calling on the 918 number. Okay, and it's book 68 that we have just begun now today, the first 4 programs. All right, I haven't even found it myself yet, but Galatians 5:22, Paul's tremendous testimony of saving faith. For I am what? Crucified with Christ. All right, so I'm taking a little liberty with the wording here. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You get it? Oh, even though when we become a believer, our old Adamic nature is put to death, but Christ, see, the God of creation, the one who went to that cross and suffered and died for our salvation, but Christ, see, Christ liveth in me. Now think for a minute. Have you ever heard such a concept until you get to Paul? Did any of the Old Testament believers have that kind of an understanding of their God? No. They didn't have a concept that God lived in them. Jesus in his earthly ministry never taught such a concept. But see, in this age of grace, and let's see. I think there's one in Colossians. Let's turn ahead a minute, honey. I hope it's in Colossians. It just came to mind. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Now, see, this is what I want people to understand. This is why I spend so much time in Paul's epistles. It isn't that I'm trying to elevate Paul. That's not the point. But it's through this man that we receive so many things concerning God that you won't find anywhere else in Scripture. And so that's what makes it so unique. And I intended to use the verse in the last program, and I just couldn't squeeze it in. It was running around my mind, but I just couldn't squeeze it in. Where Paul says in Romans 2:16, here come Dwight, but every man will be judged by Jesus Christ at that great white throne judgment according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. That'll be the basis of the judgment passed on lost people. All right, but now we're not talking about the lost. We're talking about you and I as believers. Colossians 1, verse 27. Now listen, don't miss this. To whom God would make known, complete understanding, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. And what's the other word for mystery? Secret. And when was it kept secret? From Adam until Paul. It was never revealed. And here it is. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, not just in the apostle. We've got that same testimony that he had, that Christ liveth in me. Now, that's not something that you arrogantly throw at people and say, well, I'm better than you. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that we have such a fabulous salvation. The grace of God is so beyond human comprehension that you and I can take this as a promise. We can claim it without any arrogance, without any pride. It's just a fact of God's grace that when we believe the gospel, Christ entered in to dwell within us. In the person, of course, of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at that, if we have time yet today, in one of our next but nows. But anyway, if you'll come back then to Galatians chapter 2. Let's drop back up. Because like we've been doing, I just show you the but that I'm rooting for. The but Christ, or but God, or but now. And then we go back up a few verses and see what goes before it that causes the Holy Spirit to move Paul to write the words of this verse. So let's go all the way back up to verse 15. Galatians 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature, and of course, Saul of Tarsus was a Jew's Jew. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now again, I just have to stop. I'm afraid too many church people do not realize what were the kind of people that Paul brought into a knowledge of salvation. Gentiles. But what were Gentiles in Paul's day? They were what we would call the scum of society. The riffraff. Oh, they may have been living elite, but morally, they were scum. They had no moral principles. None. And so the Jew looked down at those filthy Gentiles, not only with their physical inability to keep bodily clean, because, see, that was a Jewish phenomenon. You got to remember that the vast majority of the world didn't take a bath every day like we do. They live filthy. And to the Jew, it was just anathema that people could live and be so dirty. But listen, they did. And so this is why he used that term, that these Jews looked down as Gentiles, as not just sinners, but actually they were almost the offscouring of humanity in their eyes. All right, now then verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Oh, and that just flew in the face of the Jews of Paul's day. And that's why they hated Paul so. Oh, they would put him to death in a minute if they could, because he was flying in the face of their religion. All right? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but, here I could have another one, couldn't I? By the faith of Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now, I think to clarify that, I won't do any injustice to Scripture. But what is really behind our faith in Christ? His what? His faithfulness. Now, what do I mean by His faithfulness? Will He ever let us down? Is there any danger that we'll slip into eternity and say, I'm sorry, but my grace wasn't sufficient for you? You see, there's always the possibility that you could walk in here some Wednesday afternoon and some joker has sawed the legs off of one of these chairs so that they would break the minute somebody sat on it. Now, that'd be awful, I know, but it happened. I'll never forget. I opened up a lawn chair for somebody a few years ago, and I didn't do it just right, and when she sat down on it, it collapsed, see? Well, that's what you call faithless. That chair didn't hold her. Anything that lets you down is faithless. Anything that you can rest on, like these chairs, are faithful. I don't care what it is. Everything that you use, you intend it to be faithful. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. That's Christ. He is faithful. He has done everything that needs to be done. We don't have to look for something to garnish it. We don't have to look for something to somehow prop it up. He and He alone is faithful. And when we place our faith in His faithfulness, we're safe for all eternity. Nothing can take that from us because of His faithfulness. Okay, that's enough of that. So verse 16, reading on. So we who have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified, made totally cleansed of all our sin by an act of God, that we might be justified by the faith or the faithfulness of Christ and not by the works of the law. And listen, the vast majority of church people today are depending on the law. They're legalism of one sort or another. And God won't have it because He's done everything that needs to be done by Himself. All right, so it's not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, isn't it amazing? Come back with me to Romans chapter 3. Isn't it amazing that the Spirit prompted Paul to write almost the same identical words that he wrote in Romans, or that he wrote in Galatians, I'm sorry, that was first, and he repeats it in Romans. Almost identical. Romans chapter 3. Verses that we use quite often. Drop in at verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Got to wait till you all get it. Okay? Now we know. Now there's no doubt in that kind of a statement. That is something you can sink your teeth into. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And who was under the law? Israel. Nobody else. Israel was under the law. But the law didn't stop at Israel's borders. It was universal. Still is. The Ten Commandments are just as valid for Indonesia or Japan, or China, or Russia, or any other culture that you can name. Those Ten Commandments are still God's guideline for righteousness or whatever. All right? But it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped. Not just Jews. Every human being is brought up short by those Ten Commandments. That's God's moral law. And I'll repeat it. It's just as valid for the Chinese as it is for the Americans. All right, reading on. And that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, not just Israel, all the world may become ready for heaven. That's what most people like to think, that the Ten Commandments are somehow a stairway to heaven. No, they're not. They are God's means of condemnation. Anybody who cannot keep all 10 of those commandments is forever guilty. Now the verse finishes it, see? That all the world may become guilty before God. All the world. Nobody is exempt. Now verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, or by the keeping of the Ten Commandments, there shall no flesh be justified. Nobody. Why? Because nobody can keep them. The little book of James says, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of how many? All of them. Boy, now that's a guilt trip, isn't it? If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. And so we have to get away from this concept that the Ten Commandments are somehow a means to salvation. No, they're simply a means of condemnation. See? Therefore, verse 20, by the deeds or the keeping of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Not life, sin. And sin's synonymous word is what? Death. Death. That's all the law can do. Well, and then I got another one I would like to use along with that, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And the reason I like to use it is because so many times it just brings people up short, because when I say that Paul is talking about the Ten Commandments in Romans 3, they probably say, well, that's Les's idea. I can't quite buy that. But hey, this just puts the frosting on the cake. There's no room for argument here. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. All got it? God, verse 5. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. That is, this new concept of grace, that Christ has finished the work of the cross. Not of the letter. That's Paul's word for the law, the Ten Commandments. But of the Spirit. For the letter, the Ten Commandments. They do what? They kill. Some people don't like that. That doesn't sit with their theology. But that's what the book says. The Ten Commandments kill. How? By condemning. I can't keep them, you can't keep them, and neither can anybody else. So we better quit trying to make headway or make points with God by keeping the Ten Commandments. Won't do any good. That's not what they're meant for. They're meant to convict. All right, read on. So not of the letter, but of the Spirit in verse 6. For the letter, the Ten Commandments, killeth. They condemn. But the Spirit, that part we're going to see when we get back to Galatians in a minute, the work of the Spirit and the indwelling Christ in the Spirit's person, it gives life, eternal life. Now, if you're still doubting that I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, look at the next verse. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, do you know of any other great document in all of human history that was placed in stone? Well, maybe some of the hieroglyphics, but no, only the Ten Commandments. And so these engraven in stone Ten Commandments are nothing but ministrations of death. They condemn every human being. All right, back to Galatians. Back to Galatians, chapter 2. Verse 17. Because I want to get down to our key verse before the program's over. Now verse 17, Galatians 2. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, that is, through our faith in the gospel, we ourselves also are found sinners, in other words, we still are prone to fall, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? In other words, just because we're still human and we still fail, does that mean that God promotes sin? Why, heavens no. God forbid, is Paul's answer. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. But that's not the name of the game. We've been forgiven, we've been cleansed, but we are still human. And we're still going to sin. And the blood of Christ, of course, is what cleanses us of it. All right, now then, verse 19. For I, Paul says, through the law, because it's a ministration of death, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now think about that for a minute. There's only one thing that can set us free from the condemnation of the Ten Commandments. And what is it? Our saving faith. The work of the cross. That settles it. Now, let's, before we go into Paul's testimony in verse 20, come back with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. These are almost parallel verses. And I like to use the whole concept of comparing Scripture with Scripture so that we know we're on solid ground. Romans 7. Verse 4. Romans 7, starting at verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, see, he's writing to believers. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ, the work of the cross. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married or brought in union to another. That we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. We become part and parcel of him. In other words, let me put it this way. The Christian plan of salvation, when we become a believer, is not just embracing another religion. It's just not another do-good thing. When we become a believer, we establish a relationship with God himself. He is living in us, we are in him, and it's a two-way street. And that's what makes us so unique in all the religions of the world, that we are not just a follower of a religion, we are in a relationship with the God of creation by virtue in our faith in the finished work of the cross. See? All right, so read on. That we are to bring forth fruit unto God. Just like a marriage relationship is to bring forth children for the ongoing of the human race. Now verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, lost, commandment breakers, condemned by them, when we were by the law, and it worked in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, the same death that we saw in the last program at the Great White Throne. That's what he's talking about. Separation from God. Separation from God for all eternity. That's what every lost person is working for. All right, but here's another one, verse 6. But now, we've come away from that. We're no longer under that condemnation of the law. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, past tense, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. All right, only got 4 minutes left, so we better get back to Galatians 2 or I won't make it. Now back to Galatians 2. Verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. You see that? Because of the law's condemning us, and we run to God's saving grace for salvation, we now become what? Dead to it. It can't touch us. The law can't condemn you and I anymore, because we're dead to it, and it's dead to us. The law can only condemn the lost person, not the believer. The law does not condemn the believer. Now, we may do the things that the law speaks against, but it's not condemning us as such. We are immediately under the blood and the forgiveness of Christ. Here's the reason. Now, verse 20, Paul's testimony of saving grace. This should be the testimony of every believer. For I am crucified with Christ. What does crucifixion do? Well, it kills. It puts to death. And the reason I think God used crucifixion for all this is because that was one death that one human being cannot do to himself. They could fall on the sword, they can hang themselves, they can shoot themselves, they can do all kinds of means of putting themselves to death, but they cannot crucify themselves. It's impossible. It has to be done by an outside force. All right? And so here again, we can't crucify ourselves. We can't do anything to merit salvation. But we put us at God's mercy and we recognize that when He died, you died, I died. Because He died in our place. And so this is what Paul is saying. I am crucified with Christ. I died when He died. And that's what faith does. And then he goes on to say, nevertheless, I live. In other words, he's not talking about a physical being put to death. He's talking about a spiritual thing. All right, now we come back to the whole concept. When we're born into the world, we are born with what kind of a nature? A sin nature. You know, I always give the example. How old does that newborn have to be before that sin nature flares up? Well, not very old. The temper shows. Give him a couple years and he can lie like a rug. Well, you don't teach kids to lie. That's all part of that old nature, see? All right, now I've got to hurry. So, yet I live, yet not I. Paul isn't living for himself. He's living for the Christ who died for him. And the life I now live in the flesh, day to day, week in and week out, I live by the faith, and here we have again, I think, the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave Himself for me. Now, what is that all based on? God's what? God's love. Everything concerning Christianity rests on the premise of love. God died for the sins of the world because He loved mankind. When we become a believer, at least it certainly should show forth, we begin to love people that we probably never thought of loving before. Now, I'm not talking about physical love. I'm talking about spiritual love. And we have a concern for those around us. And that's what makes the difference between a true child of God and the run-of-the-mill everyday person. And so always remember, yes, we're put to death with Christ, but we live because He lives in us.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.